Good afternoon. My name is David Lanfear, and this is the live stream for one of our adult classes at Western Church of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. This adult class is called Bible FAQ, and the question that we've been studying this week, we started on Sunday, May 17, in our Sunday AM Bible study class, and we're going to complete the lesson tonight. And that lesson, the question that we are studying is, do we have guardian angels? So we're not going to go over everything that we talked about on Sunday, but I do want to review just a few things. And if you do not have a piece of paper and an ink pen, a pencil, to write down some passages of scripture, I encourage you to get one if you would like to study this at greater length yourself. There are a couple of passages of scripture that folks point to as the basis for the proposition that Christians have guardian angels. In Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 10, Jesus says this, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus says, "I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Also, in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 15, Luke records that this is in the story about Peter. He escapes from prison with the assistance of an angel, and when they finally get to the house of a lady by the name of Rhoda, the servant girl hears knocking, and the servant girl's name is Rhoda. She hears knocking at the gate to let for Peter is trying to get into the house, and so she comes back to the folks there and says that Peter is standing at the front gate. And they said to her, this is Acts 12, verse 15. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." Now, people take this passage in Acts chapter 12 and couple it with the passage in Matthew 18 and verse 10. And advance their argument that we have guardian angels. The word, and there are some other passages of scripture that go along with that. I don't mean for it to sound as if these are the only two passages that go with people with people forming the opinion that we have guardian angels. The word, the Greek word that is translated into our English word angels is angelos. And that word has two meanings, one of two meanings. One is messenger, and the other is angel, which is this, as one of the Bible dictionaries that I've used, Mounts, defines angel as a non-material spiritual being. Angel in the sense that we think of angels, that's what he is, that's how he defines that. And this word is translated, the Greek word is translated into both that the English word messenger and the English word angel in the New Testament. Angels are given, there are lots of instances of where angels were messengers for God. There are other passages of scripture that teach us that angels perform different tasks for God. And we're not going to go over all those passages of scripture. If you'd like to know what they are, then please go back and listen to the first portion of this lesson. It'll be on our, you know, on our website. But angels delivered messages from God. They praise God. They served God's people. They protect and care for God's people. And these are only some of the things that angels do or have done as recorded in the Bible. So with that backdrop, tonight what we're going to talk about for a few minutes is, do we have guardian angels? And I'm going to start with those who enthusiastically say yes, absolutely say yes. And that is based on several things. Their belief about that is based on several things. One is that Jewish people typically believed that each Jewish person had a guardian angel. That was something that the Jews typically believed. And Jewish people believed that each nation had a guardian angel. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, this is what Daniel records. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. At that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Note how that verse begins. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people. That would be the basis upon which the Jews would form the belief that either a nation or individual Jews would have the benefit of a guardian angel. This is the same Michael that is mentioned in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, and may be the archangel that is mentioned in Jude chapter 9, who disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. So there are some other things in Scripture that prompt people to conclude that we do have guardian angels. And notice this passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 34, Psalm 34, verse 7. David says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." Another reason that some have formed the opinion that we have guardian angels. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, remember Jesus says their angels. He refers to their angels. In Acts chapter 12 and in verse 15, remember that the folks there that were responding to Peter perhaps being at the door, they responded by saying, "It is his angel." Now, I believe that the text is inspired. That doesn't mean that the person that said that in that instance was inspired, but the text that reveals this story and everything else in the Bible was inspired. Over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 14, that's a passage of Scripture we'll talk about just a little bit more here in a moment. Hebrews chapter 1 and 14, the Hebrew writer says that the angels were sent for service for the sake of those who are about to inherit salvation. So there are a number of passages that one may read and draw this conclusion. It is a comforting thought, really a comforting thought, to believe that God has assigned a specific angel to us, or a host of angels to watch over us and protect us. That's a comforting thought. But let's consider the other side. There are others who say it is likely not so that we have, in spite of these passages of Scripture that we just mentioned, it is not so that we have a guardian angel. And the basis for that are these. There are several reasons for that, and here they are. First, the term or the phrase guardian angel nowhere appears in Scripture. Nowhere. It is a conclusion that's been drawn by what's recorded, for example, in Matthew 18 and verse 10, or in, I don't guess I can say that necessarily with regard to, it's at least implied in Acts chapter 12 and verse 15. But the phrase guardian angel, the idea perhaps, but that term or that phrase appears nowhere in Scripture. When in Matthew 18 and in verse 10, when Jesus says, "There are angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven," what Jesus says, when he calls it their angels, perhaps it could be translated messengers. If so, I don't know who they would be. It's translated angels. The thing that we can learn from that is that means that these little ones that Jesus is referring to, who I believe are those, could be young children, it could be the older ones or adults who have little influence. It may be extrapolated to that, perhaps. But this just simply means that these little ones have friends in high places. That means they have friends in high places. Note that what Jesus says, they continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. That means they have access to the throne of God. They have access to the throne. It doesn't mean that these angels are empowered to protect us at their own whim, but they have access to the throne. And this phrase, speaking of they see the face of my Father continually, is a phrase that has special meaning. It's used, or similar, a phrase similar to it is used in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. And this is when the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias, who will become the father of John the Baptist. And in Luke 1 verse 19, Luke records, "The angel answered and said to him," said to Zacharias, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news." So this phrase, "see the face of my Father in heaven," as we read it in Matthew chapter 18, is an expression which refers to one holding a place of honor in the ancient court, one who is welcome or has the privilege of being in the presence of the king. So we can see that in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8. That's the passage that discusses when the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon to learn if he was really as wise as she had heard. And so she says in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8, she says to Solomon, "How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom." A similar passage is in Esther chapter 1 and verse 14. Here, this verse of scripture reveals to us the names of people that were able to have access to the presence of the king. Esther 1 verse 14 says, "And were close to him, Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Mekunkin, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence and sat in the first place in the kingdom." So in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus is using vivid language to tell us, to inform us, that God is aware and knows the situation of even the lowliest on earth. Now that too is a comforting thought. And when I read about the care that Jesus has for us, that God has for us, to know that God knows, God sees, and God cares, it always reminds me of the passage of scripture that tells us about where Jesus is. There are a number of passages of scripture that tell us where Jesus is. Matthew 26 and verse 16 says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. That's Matthew 26, verse 64. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, that passage of scripture tells us that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul there says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. And in Hebrews verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 3, Hebrews 1 verse 3, and in verse 13, the Hebrew writer tells us, informs us that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But when I think about these things, I'm always reminded, thinking about how the Lord cares for us, I'm always reminded of Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56, which is part of the narrative about Stephen's defense when he is before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. And he is about to be dragged out of the city and stoned. And this is what Luke records for us, beginning in verse 55. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know, if you're at a sporting event, if you're watching an NCAA basketball game, championship game perhaps on TV, and it's in down to the last seconds and one team is getting ready to take the ball down court and they need to score to win, what does the crowd do when this happens? We stand up. Even if you're in your at home watching on TV, you might stand because it is exciting. We are so focused on what is happening and we want to see it. Or if you're watching a baseball game, and I can remember an old game between the Pirates and the Braves back in the National League Championship Series, when a ball goes to the outfield and the outfielder's throwing it home, and the question is whether the guy that started on second, is he going to make it home safe? And there's a play at the plate, and we stand over that play to watch it. No one can sit and watch it, so because we are so focused on it. So now turn back 2,000 years ago, when Stephen is about to be taken in stone, Jesus is watching Stephen, this new Christian. He is about to become the first Christian martyr. Jesus doesn't sit idly at the throne. He is standing to watch to see what is happening. And that's because he cares. He cares. And so we need to know that the Lord cares for us. And one of the things that standing or being in the presence of God, it helps when we have representatives that stand or sit in the presence of God. And there are lots of examples in the scripture about people who are guarded or delivered or assured by angels. Lots of examples. But I am not aware of any scripture that reveals that at birth or at any other time, a specific angel is appointed or assigned to stand constant guard of any specific person. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, let's look at that passage for just a couple of minutes. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer records, are they not all ministering spirits? He's speaking of angels. So that talks a lot about angels in Hebrews chapter 1. And what he's really talking about is the superiority of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, his superiority over angels. And Hebrews 1:14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Interesting passage. Sent out for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Well, first of all, the Hebrew writer says that angels are ministering spirits. And he says, sent out for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. They are sent out to serve the benefit of people over whom the Lord reigns, heirs of the coming salvation, Christians. That's who he's talking about. And they are sent for the sake of, that's the language that this verse uses, for the sake of these heirs, not necessarily to them, but sent out for the sake of them, or for what will serve their benefit. So, do we have guardian angels? Here's my answer. I believe what the Bible says. That may sound like a cop-out, but I don't intend it that way. I cannot ignore what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10 when he says, do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father in heaven. You know, so many times I will say to people, read the text. Just read the text. And here Jesus clearly says they're angels. He refers to them in a possessive sense. But note that Jesus doesn't call them guardian angels or say that the angels serve these little ones, but that the angels they see the face, continually see the face of the Father. And he mentions that these are those who are little children or those who are of little influence, and that these angels have continuing access to the Father. So, bottom line, I hate to say it this way, but I'm not ashamed to. I don't know. I can't say with conviction either way. And truthfully, I don't have to. I don't have to say. There's a good passage of scripture for things of this nature. And that's Deuteronomy 29:29, in which Moses writes, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe the words of this law. So I do not diminish, I do not intend to diminish in any way, shape, or form what angels can do, or what they do, or what they can do. But I'm satisfied with the watch care that God has designed for our good and for our benefit, and I'm thankful that he watches over us and cares for us. So, this class is designed to answer and discuss questions that, you know, it's maybe something that you've wondered about for a long time, or thought, I'd like to hear somebody talk about that. Well, this is your chance. We will try to answer with what the Bible says about these things. It's not going to be dated on that subject. It's not going to be our opinions, but we want to focus on what the Bible says and what it reveals about these subjects. And so, if you have any questions, then you can email it to me, or you could email it to Jim Holton. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon, and we hope that this study has been helpful to you. If you are interested in listening to the first session of this class, then just you can check online on our webpage to find that. If you wish to watch any of those, then of course those are available. But we are happy that you're with us, and we invite you to study with us again this Lord's Day morning at 9 o'clock a.m. on our YouTube channel. Thank you very much. Good day.